You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online every single place.
All over the World Wide Web. On 1510wwbc.com, you can select that website and go to the Listen Live button and get us on any one of your listening streaming devices. Or if you'd like an archive of the show, we have a downloadable MP3 from that same location you can pick by date. Of course, we share it on all of our social media channels, which is SitaMediaInc.com is our website. And then all of our Facebook pages, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and also Sita Media. And with 14 years plus worth of shows and all kinds of fantastic folks, you can, on our website, you can search by topic or by name or just by keyword, even keywords if there's something that you're still interested in.
That's right. It comes right up.
Fantastic guests every single week, and today is no different.
Well, I think when you give the universe your best, it brings back the best, too.
Totally.
And we've been blessed on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to have the fabulous guests and people that call in, nonprofits. Oh, so many great things are happening right here. So on Mondays, we sit here, Ellen O'Neill, who is my right hand for the show. Thank you, Ellen, going on 15 years. I couldn't ask for a better friend and partner to help with this show. And Allie Tambor is here.
Good morning. She comes
by every Monday with Ellen when she's in town, yeah, when things are not happening.
Yeah.
And she's like our resident guest intern here. She'll be forever with us. Today's no different. We speak on Mondays with people here, I like to say fellow human beings, about whether it's the environment or infrastructure or voting rights or women's rights or opening a business, whether it's about the arts and entertainment, whatever it is, we give people a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And my goodness, we've had so many wonderful authors and writers, people that actually believe in our show and are now reaching out to be second guest appearances on our show, which is really good. All the way from California, we have a lot of California people. Miss Ellen.
And a lot of folks that we've had on the show have won movie credits lately. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Lots of awards. And so very, very happy and blessed to be a part of that organization, of all of those people's organizations.
Right. And they tell other people about us, too. And so today is no different. When I ran for office in 2018, the day after I became second, I don't like to say I lost. I came in second. I received a lovely phone call from a woman, and she said that her name was Suzanne Childers, and she would Childers, I said it correctly, and she said she would like to take me for lunch. And this was about 6 years ago, and we struck up a friendship, and Suzanne is here on our show today. She is the developmental person over, director over at Surfside Playhouse. She also makes fantastic costumes. She cares about our community. She cares about arts. Her brother, God bless him, was also involved in the arts and entertainment industry. And I learned a lot from Suzanne about love and unity and giving back to a community. And anyways, we became good friends. And I don't know why it took me so long to have you on the show, but I'm grateful that you're here. So she's going to be talking a little bit about Surfside Playhouse and what she does there. She has a very important job. She has to bring in the money and spread the word about the ticket sales and who's coming and how we can keep Surfside Playhouse open. And that would be a first segment. Or second segment, my good friend Ruth Lambert, who is the family friend forever, is here. And I guess over 20 years, Ruth. She's here and she's going to be speaking later. She's a volunteer as well as her husband's foundation, the Harry Henry Harrison Foundation. I almost said Harry Potter. Foundation is been hanging out with James. That's right. Has been instrumental in helping charities all over the United States, and today's no different. Ruth is a volunteer with LAB Literacy for Adults, and she brought with her another person that I know, my neighbor from Tortoise Island, Vicky Dunn, is here, and Vicky's also one of the directors on the board of LAB, and Kathleen Dyer, who is the VP. They're going to be on second segment. That's kind of winded right after Diwali.
So don't leave us.
The festival, the Festival of Lights.
I was just going to say happy Diwali to you and your family. I saw the pictures that looked like a beautiful celebration.
Well, you know, I think for holidays, what I try to do, it's never going to be perfect in a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, best friend, a Jewish holiday, you know, because you can't teach kids a language you don't know. I don't know Hindi 100%. Neither does my husband know Arabic. We just learn a few of the special songs and phrases and prayers, and we try to do that. And I had to relate everything in the terms of a superhero for James. So I told him that Lord Krishna is my superhero, Ram is my superhero. They fight the demon god Ravan, and then we light all these little pots to bring him home and give him some food and have joy and love. And he says, Nanny's got a superhero. Simple terms. But anyway, it was a great holiday. So Suzanne is here. Let's chat. How did you get involved with Surfside? I mean, you've been doing a lot of stuff, and all of a sudden, you stayed with Surfside Playhouse.
Yes. First of all, thank you for having me on the program today. I really appreciate it. A little over 4 years ago, I answered a call for a costumer position at Surfside. I'd moved here to be closer to family. And I moved here from Nevada, from Reno and Las Vegas, where most of my career was. And I just needed something to kind of occupy my time. And of course, wanted it to be in arts and entertainment, which is what I knew. I started my own career on CBS television, The Jackie Gleason Show.
Oh.
In 1965, yeah, a long time ago.
June Taylor dancers.
I was a child, but they did my height. I'm small. And so they auditioned 700 kids for this special. And we had to have, I was a ballet dancer at the time, and I was already on point at a very young age. And they needed children to really be small because it was television, so that you could see the difference between the June Taylor dancers and the children. So as a child, it was such a wonderful experience working with Jackie Gleason. But for me, what I loved the most is I got out of school for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, and then to watch the process of how all of this came together in live television fascinated me, and I've stayed in the industry ever since. So anyway, I was here and was looking really just to dabble in something to keep my interest, and Surfside needed a costumer, and that was more than 4 years ago. I've since moved out of the costumer position into the development position, because especially since the pandemic, I saw, you know, everybody, all the nonprofits are, you know, struggled a lot. A lot of them are still struggling. Surfside, we are coming back strong. However, there's a lot of need. And what I love about Surfside, and the reason why I've stayed so long, is it is a true community theater by the community for the community.
And the performers are really high quality performers.
Yes, we have
been
some
there
wonderful
a couple of shows.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we do. Especially right now, we're doing Once Upon a Mattress. Our lead, Caitlin Reedy, who plays Winifred, she's fabulous. I mean, she's just wonderful. They all are. They're all great. And, you know, our director, Brian Bergeron, he's been with Surfside for many years.
He was my director in my play.
Oh, was he really?
I love him.
Everybody loves Brian.
We all met him.
Another reason why I'm still there.
I learned, and I want to do a little plug for community theater. That was probably my best experience. And I've done a lot of things on stages between training and speaking and all of those things. My experience with playing the pajama game, and it doesn't matter what theater is, go be part of community theater. If you do it once, you'll be hooked for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And you learn from the folks that are there. The beauty of it is it's not just the people that are running the place. It's the other actors that are helping you really develop something that you may have had inside you your whole life. right. and not realize to be able to bring that out, well, expose
and it
that.
Keeps you busy, yes. gives you something to do in the community.
Yeah. It's so much more than that. It's like a soul thing. Right. It's so cool.
So Suzanne, the theater seats about 250 people.
Correct.
It's air conditioned for those yes. who are worrying about that right now. Yes, yes, it is. They can come. It's very comfortable.
Very cool.
And you all welcome people from all. That's good. You all welcome people from all walks of life yes. to audition for roles yes. to be part of the theater. Yes. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening right now with the theater. Any upcoming shows that we should know about?
Well, yeah. Like I said, we're right in the middle of Once Upon a Mattress. The next show is Agnes of God, which is a very, very controversial
yes.
play. It's three women. That's the one of the things I love about Surfside is their commitment to bringing, I don't want to say controversy, but
things to make plays, you think about.
Yeah, yes. You know, these really complex stories. We also have the Arlen Ropp competition where our local playwrights, we produce one of, you know, the winning play, we produce their play. I mean, that's this last one, it was John Torres from, everybody knows John, I think, from Florida Today. He won the last one. And so we produce, you know, original works. And we always try and do once a season. Our season is, we have six main stage shows. But we always try to do, I call them the Pulitzer winning plays. You know, something that's kind of Americana. People have known the play. You know, it's been maybe produced on Broadway many times. You know, we always do one of those. We do two musicals every year. The musicals, I have to say, that's where the bread and butter is financially. People do want to come to the musicals. It's harder to sell the more interesting plays. And so that's one of the reasons why I love Surfside, because they do commit to that, knowing that we might not sell out. And that's wonderful, because we are bringing something to the community that the other community theaters are not. And that's really exciting.
Right, and for those from Cocoa Beach, where is Surfside Playhouse located?
It's at 301 Ramp Road, and it is the only theater beachside. It is an odd location. Now, Surfside was built in 63 was the opening, so it's been there 60 years. And there's still people I talk to, and they will say, where's Surfside? I've never heard of Surfside.
And you have a lot of parking. You know? Once you get there,
I
love the park. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong there. Yeah. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Suzanne Childers, also known as Susie, and she's here to talk about Surfside's Playhouse. She's the developmental manager. Now, one of the things about Surfside, it is a nonprofit. It's a 501c.
Yes, it is.
And most of your ticket sales, what you count on, is how the revenue comes in.
Correct.
So tell us, how can people in Brevard help Surfside Playhouse, knowing that the community has a shortfall? So many nonprofits are suffering because of certain cuts that were made here in Brevard to arts and entertainment. How can we, the good citizens of Brevard, help you all to bring on these quality shows, to bring on the musicals, and give people something to do here in Brevard when we can't come and families are looking for things to do?
Thank you for that question, Sita. It's very, very important. You know, we have a couple of different programs, donation programs. We have an Adopt a Seat program, $200. You get your name on the seat. I have started a sponsorship program, a presenting sponsorship. If you want to sponsor one of the shows on our main stage, there's a couple of different ways of doing it. We had two price points. One was $3,000, one was $5,000. $5,000 if you want to be a presenting sponsor for one of the shows. Oh, there's a lot of things that gets you your name on the program cover, on the website, on our website, in all of our advertising. You get two tickets for each production of that show that you have sponsored. Meet and greets with the cast. You know, there's a lot of nice little perks. I think what's really important when we're talking about theatrical nonprofits is that we need to really open up our minds more to how beneficial art is to the masses. And I think oftentimes we're considered elitist, and we're not. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things to sell when I'm trying to sell Surfside and what we do in the arts, is people do think of that as being elitist. And I understand that deeply because I was a ballet dancer, and there's no other art form that's considered more elitist than ballet, you know. And I spent my life in the ballet world, in the symphony world, in museums. You know, that's been my world for 60 years, you know.
And it shouldn't be considered elitist.
Of course not.
I mean, people just throw these labels out.
Right.
Like, and sometimes you want to say, no, it's not. I mean, when you're in elementary school, or if you're in junior high, high school, kids want to get into drama,
yes,
and arts and entertainment. And they want their parents and their community to support them. I know at Satellite High, my son was in Fiddler on the Roof.
And, great school.
And so, yeah,
theater.
They have a really great performing arts division there. But it's not elitist. Any kid who tries out and makes it gets in.
Correct.
So
correct.
I think you're right about that. But for,
but
our,
I think
for our listeners,
dance too, in a lot of ways, has, you know, it, there's high standards. So maybe that's where they think the elitist
could
piece
be.
Comes
it
in.
It could
right?
be.
Not
yeah,
if you're from the Caribbean. Anybody who could, no. If you could shake your waist and wear your
true.
Booty, you could dance. Trust
oh,
me.
Boy.
And you throw
that's
it out,
true.
Screw it a light bulb kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
very
you
true.
I mean, you go on Carnival of the Sea, you know. Yeah,
well, there's also a cliche that ballet dancers are not funky, and trust me, we are.
Oh, yes.
A lot of us are.
But I think for those who are listening, Surfside Playhouse is a community theater, and stress on the word community.
Absolutely.
And it's dedicated to the performing arts through productions, presentations, education, and outreach.
Correct.
So talk to us a little bit about the education. Like you say, you have been going around as the developmental manager and speaking with different people and trying to get sponsorship and people
correct.
To help with the shows. Well, how do you educate them and try to bust up that word elitist? Because really and truly, we see things on Facebook and TikTok with children in Africa dancing in the sand.
Oh, aren't they
I
wonderful?
I mean, when you dance,
yeah,
you have a great time. Your whole life changes when you shake and move and dance and sing.
Yeah. Well, my mother was a dancer. My mom met my father. They met. My mom left her ballet career. She was with the Metropolitan Opera Ballet.
Oh.
And she left her career during World War II, met my dad, who was a fighter pilot, Army Air Corps. She was with USO, did the camp shows.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, I know. And
you
so
you had quite a good little lifestyle.
Oh man,
well, filled with dancing.
I am blessed.
And your brother was a dancer too.
I have three brothers.
Oh,
I guess you write a lot about
the one.
Yeah, yeah. Christopher.
Yeah,
he's danced with Madonna, Whitney Houston. I mean, he's been in the movies. Yeah, my oldest brother, Butch, who lives here on the beach, Sherman. He had to dance because, of course, his mother was a dance teacher. Right, we all had to. There were five kids. My brother Peter, he died of AIDS in 1988. He was a dancer with the San Francisco Opera Ballet. So, you know, dance, it's a stupid joke, and I've said this so many times, if my parents had been plumbers, I'd be a plumber. You know, my mom was a dancer, and the school bus would drop me off at the dance studio, you know, because there was no such thing as latchkey kids when I grew up. You know, you were always with your parents. And my dad was Air Force. That's how we came to Florida, was we were at Homestead Air Force Base. I was born in Austin. And so we were kind of born, you know, all over, but we all danced. Every place we moved to, my mother would find whatever that art and cultural offering was for the towns that we lived in. So like I said, I grew up in museums and always being exposed to the arts. And trying to get past that, when I
elitist,
threw that word
yes.
out, elitist, has been really one of my biggest struggles. I've always said I'm an educator, and I also teach dance at Dance Arts Center, and I do have students from Satellite High, so I do know how good their program is. But you know, I've always thought of myself as an educator, be it costume design, dance, music, the things that I know, and I've always felt myself as a mentor also to young people. I can't tell, I used to have a dance studio with my mother in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've trained many dancers who have had professional careers. One of my students, Chad Azadan, he is now the line producer for the Icon of the Seas. They're crossing the ocean right now, going to be the world's biggest cruise ship, he's doing the Aqua Show. And I created the first Aqua Show for Royal Caribbean. And so, you
which,
know,
by the way, Royal Caribbean, I've been on their ship a few times. Their performances are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
From the minute you get on till the minute you leave.
Yes. Yeah, very, very high quality. Very, very great.
The costumes, did you design some of those costumes?
Oh, yeah, too? I did. Oh, costume designer. I've done Shakespeare. Oh, my gosh. I've done
And Midsummer's Night Dream, Midsummer you did that as well?
Yeah, I did that at Lake Tahoe Shakespeare in Lake Tahoe. Yeah, I did the costume designs for National Tour of Aida. I've done a lot.
But see,
but I'm not here to talk about myself.
But you know what? I was just going to say, when you talk about all the things you've done and you try to educate people, your experience, your background in costume design and arts and being at peace the way you are. I know we've talked about, you know, you have such a peaceful existence at home with your garden and everything. People are looking for that peace, Suzanne. They are. And I think when you talk to them about the arts and entertainments and all the great things you guys are doing and you incorporate your own life into that, people would see it's not really elitist. It's just finding a great way to live.
Oh, my gosh. That's so true. And I said earlier, I've always felt blessed. I give thanks. Anytime I see double numbers, I stop and give thanks. It's just a weird thing I do. And when I give thanks, the first thing I think of course, are my parents, because they opened this world to me, you know, and that's the one thing I always try and impart to the parents of my students, is that, you know, everybody is so, the trajectory is college, of course, college, college, college. There is so much in this world. I couldn't wait to get out of high school so that I could travel. My goal was to see the world, and I've been on 6 continents. I haven't been to Antarctica yet. I've traveled and worked on 6 continents, and all of this, all of my blessings and my success, and, you know, I've been financially successful, have come from my parents opening this world to me.
Right.
So I'm always trying to let other parents know that it's, you know, there's this idea that when you go into show business, everybody wants to be a star. That's not true. You know, entertainment is more than a $2 trillion industry. You know, so there's a lot of work out there for people who love arts
it's
and entertainment.
It's very fulfilling.
It's very fulfilling. Yeah.
So does Surfside Playhouse partner with any businesses in town? How can one become a sponsor, and do you guys get any grants? I know some ticket sales come from revenue, but I just want our audience to open up their mind and see, like, where Surfside gets all their revenue and how they can help you guys to stay in business, so to speak.
Yeah.
Even though it's a nonprofit, it is in some sort of a business. Arts and entertainment.
Oh, yeah. In order to keep the doors open, we have to have the money. Being this new position that I have, I am responsible for finding and submitting for grants. The cycle right now is not current. We have to wait until 2024 for the next grant cycle. And with grants, when you're looking at grants, you're looking at foundations, corporations, government. Those are the 3 sources that you're looking for money from. I have recently, because I've kind of exhausted all of that since I started this position, I'm looking at individuals. I would love to bring more individuals into the Surfside family and have them see, you know, if you donate to us, and it could be anything, it could be $2, you know, $20. We have little, when you come into Surfside, we have little envelopes and a place to drop off, you know, money. But our Adopt-A-Seat program, like I said, $200. I just think individual giving is what I'm really looking for right now. I'm actually looking for $500,000. So if you're somebody with $500,000,
just speak it into the universe. That's how it goes. That's how it's supposed to go.
Yes, and the good thing about Surfside is they do use the money and they upgrade the theater.
That's
what
we're looking for.
The theater looks great. I mean,
but I want to paint a picture too for the community that if we have children, if you've got children that are struggling in school, I remember when I was struggling in school and mine was because I was so bored. Like the school just was not giving me what I needed. My mom put me in art classes in New York, and that was my thing. And then all of a sudden, you start branching out, And now school wasn't such a chore. Now when I went back to school, it wasn't, I was bored. I was teaching all the other kids in my
class.
Well,
you find your tribe. Which,
right?
That's what it is.
But
yeah.
It's parents and families that are struggling with that type of behavior issues or any of those things this could be an outlet. So, you know, parents, you could spend $100,000 on therapy, or you give $100,000 to Surfside Playhouse and let your kid experience something, or your child, positive and something that could become a career.
No, right? Absolutely. It's a great experience.
Absolutely.
So, Suzanne, one of the things I noticed too at Surfside is the performers themselves, they sponsor things, like they'll have the jazz festival, and they'll try on their own to do little events to bring in a little. Talk to us a little bit about what can we do to help those people who are doing those things.
Oh, that's a good thought. You have to get to know the people. You have to get to know us, and the only way to get to know us is to come in. We accept, volunteers are the backbone of Surfside. And we had a volunteer event recently, and you know, when you walk through the doors, you are embraced. You are.
So, and what about, I know you're always looking for costumes, clothing. Are you still looking for things? Like people have nice prom dresses?
Yeah, no.
Sometimes you get too much.
Yeah, we have too much. We've had to do a big purge, a great big purge. When I left the costumer position, I had a resume that was handed to me by our director and said, probably looking for work. And, you know, they're all volunteers there. And I looked at this resume and I thought, wow, I need to know this person. And I contacted her. Her name is Renee Dameron. And she came in to Surfside. And she was the one who allowed me to step away from the costuming position and start helping them be financially more solvent. When I was talking about the grants, and when I jokingly said $500,000, I'm really serious about that, because with the building, we do need federal grants. You know, today everything is ADA compliant. You know, your diversity statements, all of that stuff is wrapped up in a federal grant. You have to be able to have all of these programs in place. Surfside was built in 1963, trying to bring our bathrooms up to ADA standards and code, and especially the backstage area. How wonderful to have actors who might have a disability, but if the backstage bathrooms, if their wheelchair can't get into the backstage
accessibility.
Yeah, then you'll lose a lot of people who really want to be part of the theater.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's one of the things. It's been my mission. It's kind of on the back burner, but I'm just throwing it out there because I would like to see the building, the facility itself,
upgraded,
improved, and upgraded.
So give us the website, if someone wanted to go on the website and look and see if they can become a volunteer, or maybe a sponsor, or buy a seat. Buying a seat, $200.
Buying a seat would be great.
That's an easy one.
Yes. I want a 15-second plug for the improv class.
Oh, yes.
Because my friend, two realtors, friends of mine, said that they were having trouble with conversation, just being able to have conversations with people from different areas, maybe that weren't connecting with them. They went to the improv class, and they said not only has it done wonders for their business, but it's done wonders for their relationships, because now they're, you know, it's funny. You know, they're learning
and
funny
things. Was it at Surfside?
But it's
We have
$100 for
adults. You hit on a very important point, because communication, whether it's in a job or a marriage or a neighborhood or HOA or politics, communication is the most important thing in life.
And humor helps.
So that's what
humor helps.
My
humor, I'm all about it.
So give us the website and the phone number if someone wanted to contact you and become a sponsor, or maybe they want to go on the website and sign up for a class.
Okay, so the phone number is 321.
She's looking it up too.
258-2185. That's for the Surfside Playhouse. And also, you'll be able to find them at 301 Ramp Road in Cocoa Beach, Florida, 32931. The main number is 321-783-3127. And the surfsideplayhouse.com is the website.
Right. And whoever made your website, my kudos to them. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's so easy to understand.
Really?
Yes,
that's wonderful to hear, because we just recently redid it. That's Jason Mellon. Young
a
man.
Plug for Jason.
Yeah, he's we're, you know, again, it's all effort. It's you know, well, volunteers.
Ruth, Nina was at a play at Surfside Playhouse. I'm not sure if you got, which she was there, but I think it was Jasmine years ago. Yes, and we, Julie and I went there. So I remember from then how well it was back then.
We have a new concession stand now, too. We're doing a new concession stand. Yeah, which, you know, we're really upgrading it. And another, aside from improv, which is Mario, and everybody loves Mario, we also have a youth players program. So there is, yeah, they do two shows a year. And that's Ava, I can't think of her last name all of a
that's
sudden.
That's a cool, well, Ava,
okay. Yeah.
We'll make
so
sure
much information in 24 minutes. Oh, great.
But once again, Once Upon a Mattress is playing right now at Surfside Playhouse. You can get your tickets right online at surfsideplayhouse.com. The children's event looks like Finding Nemo Kids. Yeah. That's a Surfside Youth Players production. That's going to run from December 1st to the 3rd. And then there's also, if you've never been, you should really go, an improv showcase. This one is called Naughty or Nice. They're going to be featuring the fall class of 2023, which my friends happen to be in, and that's going to be on December 2nd. So make sure you go to surfsideplayhouse.com and get your tickets. Donate. Do all sorts of great things. Be part of Surfside Playhouse.
Well,
right,
that's why shows like Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is important, so we can help you spread your message of how great the arts and entertainment world is and what it does for a community, and encourage people. Don't buy your Starbucks for a week. Just get a ticket.
There you go.
And that's the other thing, Surfside. Our ticket pricing is very, very reasonable.
Yes, it is.
It is. We're a good $4 to $5 less per ticket than the other.
For high quality performances.
Yes,
why not?
Absolutely.
Okay, take it away.
So now to hear from our sponsors who help us keep the show on the air for the last 15 years, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're going to hear from those sponsors real quick, and then we'll be right back with Literacy in Brevard.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotcoff.com. Jotcoff Financial.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in very sunny, bright Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. We've got people tuning in today to listen to our show. It's fabulous.
We do, yes. And as a matter of fact, we've gotten a lot of European listeners lately and European downloads, so that's kind of cool, of everyone learning about our little community here in Brevard and all over the nation. But you can tune into 1510wwbc.com, hit that listen live button, and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Or if you'd like the archive of the show, you can go to the on demand button, pick by date, or you can go to any one of our social media channels, plus our website, which is cedamediainc.com, and all of our Viewpoint with Sita and Friends all over the TikTok and
that's correct
Facebook and Instagram world, all of that stuff. So
well,
make sure
just,
you tune
it's
in.
It's just, you know, using the tools that God has given us to make the world a better place, right?
That's right.
We all learn from history. We learn from education.
I'm
we
still
learn
laughing
from each other.
I'm still laughing about your TikTok, like one of your second or third TikTok videos, right? Went to like 9 million or something like
that.
No,
that was Maddie made a TikTok and it went to 1.2 million.
Yeah.
But then she's since hidden it because she's embarrassed.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, so our show today, it's all about literacy, the second segment. My good friend Ruth Lambert is here. She is a volunteer with LAB, which is Literacy for Adults. And we're talking about literacy for adults right here in Brevard County, Florida. Vicki Dunn is here. She's the director on the board. One of the directors on the board, and Kathleen Dyer is here. She is the VP with LAB. And we also want to say that the Henry Harrison Foundation also assists with all these great nonprofits. And you know, folks, for those of you who are listening, the numbers don't lie. There's so many adults in Brevard who are speaking, doing things, but a lot of them are illiterate. And this is where LAB comes in very handy to teach folks how to read. And some might say, well, why this late in life? Well, it's never too late to start anything. And I'm going to let my friend Ruth speak first, because she introduced me to LAB and wanted to have them on the show. And I really appreciate you opening our eyes to such an issue here in Brevard, Ruth.
Well, I think for myself, literacy and being able to read and comprehend was always so important. I'm an avid reader. I've read a book a day since I was about 7. My grandson reads a book a day. It's all he wants for gifts. It's so important to me. And to be able to know that other adults who have not had my privileges can learn how to read and understand written material makes such a difference. And I found out about LAB indirectly through a friend, Karen Huebner, who was on the board, and said, you really should learn more about what we're doing here in Brevard. And so I've been educated by my friends who are with me today. They'll tell you more about it. I'm certainly a supporter, and my husband's foundation has been helpful financially, not gigantically, but helpful.
Well, every little bit helps, right?
It does.
Every little. So, Vicki, let's talk, you know, lower literacy rates are associated with lower earnings.
Absolutely.
It's also increased healthcare cost. The importance of education and actually in reducing incarceration rates is all tied to literacy.
Absolutely.
So talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with the LAB.
Well, literacy for adults in Brevard has been around for more than 50 years, but most people don't know that. And I became involved simply by walking my dog with the person who happened to be president at the time. I was a director of development at a school at the time, and we were just talking about how to raise money, and, you know, she started talking to me about being how rewarding the work of being a tutor was. And she convinced me that I should be a tutor, and I became a tutor. And then a few months later, she convinced me that I should be an evaluator to evaluate people's level of education so that we could start at the right place with them. And the next thing I knew, a few months later, she said, I think you need to be on the board.
Yeah, and, these sound like voluntold positions.
They are. Our whole organization, just right. Like yours,
and it's wonderful to have people in Brevard that have the time to do this, such as now Kathleen Dyer. How did you get involved? And you have the title of the VP. I mean, I was reading a little bit about before we got on air today, and it's appalling. One in four children in America grow up, and they don't know how to read.
Right.
So, and those children grow up to be middle-aged adults, and they grow up to be elderly people, and they grow up to be human beings that don't know how to read. So how did you get involved?
Well, when I moved to Brevard County a few years ago, I had just retired, and I wanted to remain active and do something and give back to the community. So I had heard about literacy programs throughout the country, so I kind of went onto the website, and I found Literacy for Adults in Brevard. And I applied, and I wasn't too sure if I would be accepted since I was not an educator by trade. However, they are so willing, they still are, training people to be able to tutor and to give you the support when you are tutoring. So I started tutoring, and I did that for a few years, and I'm still tutoring. And then I started talking to the president of the board at that time, and she did the same thing to me as she did to Vicki. Come and assist us and volunteer some more. So that's how I became involved with the board and working in the office, but still tutoring. And the tutoring part is just fun. It is fun to watch someone grow, to learn, to see their eyes and their confidence become stronger as they are expanding their own personal growth.
Well, also to see the gratitude. You know, people who go from not understanding, not being able to communicate clearly, not being able to read and understand, to hopping over that fence, feel like they're integrated in a whole wider community.
Right.
And there's a lot of shame that comes with it as well. And, you know, as adults get older, I even see it in my little bit of a circle of the friends that I have that maybe didn't go to high school and struggle with certain things. And you try and help them out, and it's sort of overcompensating sometimes as a person that you're communicating with. But bottom line is, it goes back to that same shameful, like, I'll get through it, or I'll figure it out, or I made it this far, where you're missing out on a whole huge world of things.
Well, you have to think about what it is to be an adult and try to learn to read.
Right.
If they're an American, they went to school here, and they were probably shoved in the background of a class that was active because they had problems. And back in the day when we were kids, that's what the teacher did. They didn't try to identify how they could help with them. And so we have 40-year-old men in particular who come, and they're enthusiastic and they want to learn, but they have a family, they have a job, they have their pride, so related to your shame. And so they use every kind of crutch that they can, and their families are all enablers to help them get by.
Right. Well, you know what it is, too. A lot of people get caught up in the regular humdrum of life, and they don't have the time. Reading takes time. Understanding takes time. Going to the library takes time. And I was reading that 75% of Americans who receive food stamps perform at the lowest second grade level of literacy. And 90% of the high school dropouts are on welfare. So the thing is, when you think about it, when you can't read, then it affects your, and I see you're not in there, Ms. Dyer. So
the
jump in right there, because I mean, even the folks who are incarcerated, if a lot of them, their reading level is so low that they can't even comprehend what's happening in the court system with them.
That is correct. You're right. It has a major impact. And it's interesting when you talk to students, they go to great lengths to hide the fact that they cannot read and or cannot understand what they are reading. And it's just a habit to hide this, but you know, if they spend as much time trying to hide, if they spent more time with when they're given the opportunity to learn, it is amazing.
Right, and they said that students who don't read proficiently by third or fourth grade are likelier to drop out of school. And so if you start looking at that, these students who drop out of school because they can't read past a third or fourth grade level, they are working with adults in nursing homes, hospitals, kitchens, wherever they're finding these jobs, and a lot of them are voting. So that concerns me a lot, because then you are voting without understanding who you're voting for, what their platform is, what the issues are. So it has an effect. It's like a circle, right? And I think Ruth could speak to this. That if someone cannot understand a person that they're voting for on their platform, they're going to cast that almighty vote that we all know is so precious, but it doesn't make sense to that person because they don't understand what they're reading about.
Yeah, I think one of the things that struck me about LAB when I heard about it was the sheer number of people who are currently in the program, the amazing group of volunteers who are paired as tutors, and then sometimes more than one tutor with a student, and the tragedy of a waiting list. People who cannot get tutors but have signed up, asked for them. What one of the things that our goal was today is to remind people here in Brevard that they could be volunteer tutors. And if they have never done it before, we will train them.
And it's amazing how much better you get as the tutor. Because it's, you know, once you start practicing and you're trying to teach someone else, it's pretty cool. One thing that I looked up as we were talking this morning was most documents, health documents, anything, is written in a fourth to sixth grade level. And they say even websites shouldn't be written. If you go on any website and build any website, it will knock you down. Google will knock you down in ranking if you're typing or speaking or writing in a higher than a seventh grade level. So it says that written material should be written in the fourth to sixth grade level. Use short sentences, simple words. Provide evidence-based instruction.
Well, that explains a lot.
And include pictures.
That explains a lot, because I remember one political candidate who ran for the presidency. They said, keep it short and simple. Use simple words.
Because they're stupid.
but you know, let's talk a little bit about
the parenthesis that wasn't.
Yes.
Spoken.
No. You're absolutely correct. But here's the thing, though. With the literacy for adults, 48 million Americans, according to some websites, and I read this morning from the Numbers on Light, says they lack basic reading, writing, math skills beyond the third grade level. Now, here's a bigger question. They're banning books when people should be reading the books, right? So where did we go wrong as a nation that so many people are graduating from elementary to middle school, from middle school to high school, and they can't read and understand? I know people that have never been in a library since the day they left high school. I literally had someone saying to me the other day, I don't read. I hate reading. So if you hate reading, then what do you think your children are going to do? They won't read either. So, I'll give this to Ms. Dyer. How do we help the people who don't want to read, don't understand that you live through your actions? How do we get them, more people, to read?
I think that's a hard question and a good question. I think what we can do at LAB is work with the learners that come, gain their confidence, and then have them spread the word to other people. Because that is really how people also learn that they can do something, is by other experiences by their own peers.
And I'd like to say that at this time, we have more international students in the lab program than we have Americans.
Right.
And they have a different motivation. They want to fit in. Right. They want to be part
assimilate.
Of the country.
Yeah.
We have economists, pharmacists, psychologists. We have people who want to gain their certifications in this country. And the most important thing that they all want to do, because they can read, they want to speak. Right. They want to speak.
So where
like
are
an
we
American.
Meeting? So you guys, I'm sure there's a place where you can meet and tutor. Tell us a little bit about which agencies are helping you with that and where are people meeting.
The Brevard County Library is where we tend to meet. We have a very close association with them. We will meet there at their 17 library locations. And what we ask the volunteers, the tutor volunteers, to meet for at least an hour and a half to 2 hours a week with a student one-on-one. And that's what is kind of unique and helpful about our program is it is one-on-one. So it gives the learner a chance to learn and help them with the areas that they have they need to build. Right now, that is where we are meeting. We, you know, always hope to expand. At this point, that is our best place.
And there's a lot of parking at most libraries, and it's well lit, even if it gets a little dark or whatever.
Yes.
But Vicki, how long has literacy for adults in Brevard been around? Because this is the first, actually, until Ruth brought it to my attention, I had no idea it existed. I always thought that the libraries maybe had a list that people could sign up. Maybe they had services that they offered there. But then I heard that those lists get pretty long. And now I heard about Literacy for Brevard. And I'm like, way to go, Brevard. So how long has this been in existence?
Well, actually, we enjoyed celebrating our 50th anniversary in 2021. And the organization was started in Titusville by a group of Methodist women who wanted to help the migrants. They felt the migrants should learn how to read. And they began the program. And Brevard County did have a literacy program. They had an employee who led volunteers from the major corporations around the county who provided tutors. And so we had a plethora of younger people, people in their 30s and 40s, in their careers, who were tutoring at the library system. Well, in 2007-08, whenever that recession happened, the county cut the program. And when they cut that program, they had almost 200 students, and they gave all the materials and all the students to this little group of volunteers in Titusville. We kept those materials until just a year ago. But when you started seeing a book that had the picture of a computer that was the size of a room, we realized that that wasn't working for our students. And so we took the 1980s and 90s programs, and with the help of the libraries, we got rid of those. And with the help of the Henry Harrison Organization and some grants, we are bringing our materials up to date. But when the county did that, you had a group of volunteers who replaced an employee, a full-time employee dedicated to literacy.
Right. Well, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're so blessed today to have in our studio my good friend Ruth Lambert, who also sponsored the segment for Adults Literacy in Brevard. And sitting with her is Vicki Dunn, who happens to be one of my neighbors from a long time ago. She's one of the directors on the board. And Kathleen Dyer, who is the VP of Literacy in Brevard. So tell our listeners, what is the website if somebody wanted to get involved and sign up, or like Ruth, donate some money to the cause?
Well,
maybe get some more customers for you guys.
Oh yes, all of the above.
You always need customers.
All of the above. The long story is literacy for the, just all the words in a row, literacy for adults in Brevard.org, or labfl.org. And our phone number is 321-301-4496. And yes, we are looking forward to Giving Tuesday, coming up the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and donations is how we exist. We have just a group of wonderful volunteers
who, when we need something, they often...
They step up to the plate. So Kathleen, during COVID-19, were you guys still operating at Literacy for Brevard?
We were still operating, but yes, the libraries did close down for a few months, so the program did have to go on hold at that time. And we did take a long time for some of the matches, the tutors and the learners, to start back up, either due to their own personal environment. They could not go out because they were immune compromised, or, you know, they were working in an environment that was at a high risk at the time. So we have been slowly building ourselves back up, but we did lose a lot of tutors and students at that time. They just didn't return.
And thanks to Ruth, you're going to be building that back up. And we have about 2 minutes, Ruth, and I'd like to ask you really quick. You know, educated nation is a well-informed nation, right? And it's not only for little children or middle school or high school. Everyone should learn to read. You know, my dad used to tell us that we didn't have a lot of money, but he invested in the Trinidad and Tobago Guardian and Express newspapers, and we would read those newspapers before he would sell it to his clients in our little shop. And we learned about the world and its people and its cultures from reading the Express and Guardian. Even though my dad only went to school to maybe a fifth grade level, he could speak as though he had a PhD by reading. And we sounded out the words and we made syllables. And Trinidad and Tobago has a 98% literacy rate. So what can we do with the remaining minute or so to help other people, that if you live by your actions, your children will live by those actions?
Well, I was going to say, literacy is intergenerational. And an educated parent has an educated child. And that child goes on to educate their children. So it's intergenerational, but the same is true with a lack of literacy.
Yes.
Parents who can't read cannot be the first teachers of their children.
We have time for one success story. If somebody wants to go really quick, we have a minute. A success story with Literacy for Brevard.
Well,
somebody at Publix.
Oh, well, yes, we have a gentleman whose supervisor called us and said, I really want to promote this gentleman. He's such a good employee, and his own work ethics are so excellent. We want him to supervise. And so he was sent to us, along with all the manuals needed to be a Publix employee in order to be promoted at Publix.
Right. And you were able to help him to understand his words and put them together for his application and everything. And that's what it takes, right? Because the reading, if you can't fill out an application properly, you won't get the job, right? And it's simple sentences, but some people just don't know how to do it.
Well, and as a supervisor, you need instructions. You need to be able to give and take instructions and all of those things. So that's a fantastic success story.
And I just like to add that our oldest student is 82 years old.
God
so
bless.
You are never
Vicky,
old.
Anything you, anything you want to add? Anybody wants to add anything before we go off here? This has been such an enlightening segment.
I'd like to say one more thing. I think recruiting with some of the businesses in the area would make sense. Mm-hmm. People who work to come and be learners or tutors, and it's a kind of outreach.
And for those,
maybe the foundation could support.
And you know, some of those international students could do a potluck, and I can make some curry chicken.
Sold.
We need to do
that
to bring
like
more
magic.
Awareness. And we'll invite Suzanne to come by too with some of her students, and then we have a big fat Sita and friends show.
Yes,
sounds awesome. Well, once again, another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510WWBC.com right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Please tune in each and every Monday here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, you'll learn a lot of great stuff about our community as well as the communities around the nation. Thank you so much, and we'll see you real soon.